Your love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. How many are thankful for the overwhelming peace of the Holy Spirit? How many of you can say, I've felt the overwhelming peace of the Holy Spirit? There is a peace that passes understanding. There is a peace beyond just contentment. There is a peace that can supersede grief and sorrow and doubt and heartache and all of those situations. How many know the message that the angels came to declare from the heavens was peace on earth and goodwill toward men? How many know God has never changed that message? So when you hear people preaching anything other than God's favor and goodwill to men, that's not the chorus. That's not the song that the heavenly choir sang. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. How many know God gets blamed for a whole lot of things he's not guilty for? He gets called a whole lot of things that he's not. Amen. The favor of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, the hope and the peace that can come when we know Jesus. Amen? Amen. Well, I started a series last Sunday called The Thrill of Hope. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of this dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appears, and a soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder brings a new and glorious morn. I want to talk today about the thrill of hope, and I want to talk about a weary world rejoices. Anybody in here ever felt weary? Three of you, four of you? Amen. Couple of you. Weary, worn out, tired, exhausted, tired of waiting. All of those things cause weariness. Amen. Overextending ourselves. If you haven't felt weary in this season, I need to know what kind of vitamins you are taking. Amen. See, extra caffeine's not always a good thing. Amen. But how many know it's easy to get weary? It's easy to get worn out. And I'm not just talking about physical weariness. We all feel the weight of physical weariness, all the checkoffs that have to be done this time of year. I'm talking when your spirit gets weary. I'm talking when your mind gets weary. When your thoughts wear you out. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, there we go. I didn't think I was in the room by myself. A weary world rejoices. Why do they rejoice? Because a soul finally feels its worth. Because it is the time of the Savior's birth. It is the annunciation from the heavens that indeed a Messiah has been born. I mean, Isaiah prophesied 700 years of the coming of the Messiah. From the time of Malachi until the time of the New Testament, it's 400 years. How many know waiting will make you weary? Make you give up hope. Make you think it's never going to come. It's never going to happen. Last week we talked about barren seasons. Zechariah and Elizabeth. Barrenness is hard. Those seasons are hard. And when you think that you've given up hope in the midst of those, and our heart reaches out for something, for God to bring blessing in the midst of those. How many know what God does is connect us to what's happening in the heavens? Yeah. And he ministers to those places, and he pours in the oil and the wine, and he brings restoration, and he gives renewed hope, and he sends those who can speak a word to us in a season. How many know when Zechariah was in the temple by himself, offering incense and sacrifices and doing all the things he knew to do that was right? You ever think, Lord, I'm doing all I can, and yet. And the angel Gabriel shows up and begins to declare something greater than what is happening in the natural. Yeah. Amen. He begins to speak from heavenly places. And he begins to declare things in a new way. And he begins to speak something. I love when he just says, you know, Zachariah says, how can this be? And the angel's response is, because I am Gabriel. Come on, somebody. I am Gabriel. I represent the I am. When God says to Moses, how can this be? I am not fluent in speech. I'm a runaway. I'm a murderer. I'm living on the back side of sheep. How can this be? He said, take off your shoes, because you now are standing on holy ground. Because you're not going to walk this out in your own flesh and your own ability. But you are on holy ground, and I am that I am. I am your speech. I am your healer. I am your forgiveness. I am your leader. I am your high priest. I am all that you will ever need, Moses. I am. So when he shows up in the temple and he talks to Zechariah, it's still the same I am. I am Gabriel. The same angel that shows up and talks to Mary and says, I am Gabriel. And when he shows up and talks to Joseph, when Joseph is pondering in his heart how these things will be, I am the messenger sent from God, the I am God. Hallelujah. How can it be but God? How many ever had those but God moments in your life? Amen. Do you know that BOLD can be an acronym for Behold Unveiling Truth? Amen. I want to talk a little bit today about Mary and Elizabeth and a continuation of what we were talking about last week. A weary world rejoices. Anybody ever watch Hallmark movies? How many Hallmark watchers do we have in here? Yeah. Your PJs, your hot cocoa, and your fuzzy blanket and your Hallmark movies, right? That have different characters but all have the same story, right? If you've seen one Hallmark movie, you pretty much have seen them all, right? Joe has a favorite Hallmark movie. Just name one, because they're all the same, right? That's what he said. The Hallmark movies. And we watch those sometimes like a Cinderella story. But how many know sometimes the end gets sold? The girl doesn't get the guy. Sometimes the snowstorm doesn't bring the Prince Charming. Sometimes they have to sell the business. Sometimes the cookies burn. Sometimes dad loses his job. Because life throws you curveballs sometimes. Amen? And so when you're looking for that perfect story, sometimes the story's not perfect. Sometimes it's imperfectly perfect. Because God can take divine interruptions and bring beautiful things out of that. So that even in the midst of diagnosis or in the midst of chaos or in the midst of financial issues, God is the I am God. He's still the same God who spoke to Moses. He's still the same God who showed up with Zechariah. And he begins to make beauty out of the ashes. But what if this story was a Hallmark movie? The story we're talking about in this season. Teenage pregnancy. A canceled engagement. A mom nowhere to be found, so the aunt has to fill the position. No 4-star motel to check into. Stinky sheep in the dark in a strange city that no one thought to make reservations. But God takes the lowly and causes the wise and the rich to bow down to an unwanted pregnancy and a baby that would change the world. Now that is a Hallmark movie. When the boy gets the girl and the world is changed and somehow everything is right again. A weary world rejoices. What do you do in the gap of waiting for God to do the miraculous? You do what Zachariah and Elizabeth did. You wait. You serve. And you listen. Because God's time is not our time. The name Zachariah or Zakar, it means God remembers. El Shava or Elizabeth means God remembers his oath. I want you to know that today God has not forgot your prayer. God remembers your heart, and he remembers his oath. Amen? What's in a name? Anybody in here have a nickname? You don't have to tell me what it is. Anybody in here have a nickname? Yeah, most people have some sort of a go by another name, a nickname. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. Right? That's why I said, don't tell me your nickname, because what's in a name? Zachariah, they called him old. Elizabeth, they called her barren. Mary, they called her probably a lot of things. Promiscuous, pregnant outside of wedlock. And John, they wanted to call Zachariah. But that's not what God called them. And we may call some things forsaken. We may call it barren. We may call it broken. We may call it empty. We may call it stress. We may call it a whole lot of things. But that's not what God calls it. Because in your season of trying to figure out what God is saying, God is working. We sometimes think that God is silent. If God is silent, then he's up to something. He's doing something. Amen. And so I want to go to Luke chapter 1 this morning. Now the scripture tells us that when Mary conceived, she hid herself for 5 months. Because up to 5 months, you could talk me out of it. Right? But by about the 5th or 6th month, you're either going to start to show or you're going to start to feel movement, right? So in the 6th month, the scripture starts out then in this verse, and in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Nathanael, I believe it was, said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth. And the answer to that is yes. Micah, I believe, prophesied and said, "And thou, Bethlehem, who are the least among them, out of you shall be born a ruler that shall rule my people, Israel." Man, that caught me one day when I was reading that. "And you, Bethlehem, little, oh, little town of Bethlehem," right? Yeah. "Little old Bethlehem." Yeah. Micah began to prophesy and say, "Out of you, I'm going to bring a ruler." And the Lord said to me, "What if that was, oh, little town of Berkeley Springs? Out of you, I am going to bring the great and the mighty. Oh, little church of Word of Deliverance, out of you, I'm going to bring the great and the mighty. Out of your house, put your name there, I'm going to bring the great and the mighty." A ruler, leaders. I want to tell you, there's being leaders born in this house. There's being leaders raised in the house. I was thinking the other day that we are not a mega church, but we're not small by any means. There is a great call and a great anointing on this house. And some of the greatest and most powerful people I know are sitting on the benches here this morning. Because out of you, God is raising up people that's not afraid to witness in the Exxon about cheese puffs. Come on, somebody. Because when you go out of here, you are shot out of here like arrows with people who know the I am God that stands in the presence of the Lord and know the power of the Holy Spirit that can overshadow you in your season when you say to God, how can this be? How can this be? The sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. I can't stop on every line. I got to go. Of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. It says, he came unto her and said, hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. First of all, the angel Gabriel was in a room with a woman who was by herself, who was a virgin. Secondly, he comes in with a salutation that was used among the rich and the noble and says, hail thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. You and blessed, pronounces blessing over her and says, blessed art you among women. And the scripture said, and she was troubled over this saying. And I want to tell some of you this morning, if the call on your life does not first trouble you, then your dream is probably not big enough. Because when God begins to speak the miraculous over you and he begins to speak calling and purpose and destination and his design in your life, at first it may trouble you before it excites you. Amen. And she said she was troubled in her heart at how could this be and what manner of salutation is this? I want to tell you, there's power in a salutation. There's power in your words. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Somebody say no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. What's in a name? For with God nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. The power of a salutation. She salutes Elizabeth, not salutes Elizabeth. She greets Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. For whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that hath believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." I want to talk a little bit this morning about power of connection. When we see the story of Mary and Elizabeth and Joseph, it makes quite a great Hallmark movie. Everything works out in the end, right? But I want to talk a little bit about God's call on your life. And when you begin to feel like God has taken you into a direction, and he begins to speak prophetic things over you, and it troubles you at first, but yet he begins to say, "I'm not only talking to you, but I'm talking to some other people as well." See, I don't know where Mary's mother is in this story. Ever think about it? She not there? She upset? She not living? We don't know. We don't know the story behind it, right? But God connects Mary to someone who is hearing the same things that she's hearing. It is not by chance that he says to her, "And your cousin Elizabeth." How many know Mary knows Elizabeth's story? And he begins to connect her together. He said, "And Elizabeth is with child also." And when you begin to hear that God is doing miracles in somebody else, how many know it gives you the faith to believe? That's why testimony is so important. It's because if God has done it for you, that means he can do it for me and you and you. And so the power of a testimony. And so they didn't get out their phones and send text messages like, "OMG, did you get a visitation?" And she texts back, "PM me, we need to talk." I mean, no, there's nothing like that happening, because Elizabeth probably had a flip phone anyway, and she only sends emails, right? There is a higher level than your smartphone. See, you don't need near as much discernment this day, prophetically, because we have Facebook. And people just say whatever they want to out there, right? But how many know they're trusting what they're hearing and what they're feeling and what's happening in the realm of the Spirit? Come on, you got to know that there's some things happening through the Holy Ghost that is above and beyond what you can conjure up in yourself. And so when Mary hears that God's doing something great in Elizabeth, you better bet I'm going to see Elizabeth. Now, it was a 3 days journey she had to take to even get to the house of Elizabeth. And I've asked this question before, and I don't know the answer to it. Did Mary have a conversation with Joseph before she left or when she got back? She's just been overshadowed. She's just heard about this. Joseph's not going to be happy. And as a matter of fact, he has the right, because they are betrothed. It's about a one-year process. Because they are proposed, because they are espoused, if she is with child, he has the right to bring her before the court of elders. They have the right to stone her. And he would be the person to throw the first rock, because he was the most injured in the agreement. We think about sacrifice sometime. I mean, sometimes when God calls you to do something, it costs you something. So she gets, I guess, on her donkey or camel. I don't know. Or maybe on foot. she goes to see Elizabeth. And if nothing else, she's got 3 days to think about it. She gets to the house of Elizabeth, and the scripture said that when Mary walks into the house and she opens her mouth, there's a Holy Ghost party. There's a Holy Ghost party. See, there's something about the power of your salutation that when you come together in the house and when our mouth is open prophetically before the Lord and there's a salutation of the saints of God in the house, how many knows there's a Holy Ghost begins to fall, and prophetically before Mary ever says anything to Elizabeth, because I just told you they didn't send a text message, when she walks in the house and she opens her mouth, there's something about the Holy Ghost that has overshadowed her that connects with the Holy Ghost that's already in Elizabeth. And Elizabeth begins to prophesy and said, "Hail thou who art highly favored, and blessed is me who the Lord has sent to me, the handmaiden of the Lord." And she begins to prophesy over Mary, so that if Mary had doubt up to this point, if she was unsure of the call of God in her life, if she didn't know how to talk to Joseph, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost moves. And when the Holy Ghost moves, she realizes there's a connection in the spirit, and she finds her an older woman that can mentor her and prophesy over her and pray in the Holy Ghost over her. And when she opens her mouth and Elizabeth opens her mouth and Mary begins to open their mouth with a pronunciation of what the heavens is saying, all of a sudden the babe inside the womb of Elizabeth starts to leap for joy. And I didn't know up to 5 months for sure if I was pregnant. But at the movement of my baby, now I know that something is being birthed inside me. You got to find yourself in a place. Then when the word comes forth, it causes the baby in your womb to leap. Hallelujah. 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 There's something about a salutation that is done in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. See, up to 5 months, you could have talked me out of it. But in the 6th month, see, you got to be careful who you tell your dreams to. You got to be careful who you trust with God's purpose in your life. Because not everybody is going to be in agreement. I remember an unwed mother and a little baby that was born. That looked like it should not have happened. Right? Who was raised in a house with her mama and her grandmother and her uncles who held her and rocked her. People said this baby should have never happened. But that baby was my mom. She had 3 birth certificates. That baby should have never happened. But God. But the power of the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her in a connection in a little Nazarene church that for once in her life caused her baby to leap in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. And she birthed something that would change the world. I don't say that in any sense of pride, but I want to tell you that God will take the ugly and make the beautiful out of it. God will take the forsaken and give them hope. God will take what seems wrong and can make it right. But you got to be careful who you tell your dreams to. and who you confide in, what God's calling is in your life. My mom said to my aunt one day, God called me to preach. Well, number one, you're a woman, right? I mean, nobody said that to Mary and Elizabeth. Number two, my aunt said, you don't even have a driver's license and you can't drive a car. How are you going to preach the gospel to the nations? That was the prophetic word over her life. Because God overshadowed. My mom's voice has been heard in the nations. Because when she did the show with Jeremy's dad and gave her testimony, that testimony was heard all over the world. Don't tell me God can't take something dark and send the light. Don't tell me God can't take the broken and make it right. Don't tell me God can't take those situations in your life that seem hopeless and give you hope. So she goes to Elizabeth, the only person in the world she knows of that's hearing the same thing from God. And the scripture says, and the babe leaps in their womb, and Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. Mary is overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. When Zechariah's mouth is opened, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a Holy Ghost party. And a Holy Ghost party don't stop. Come on, when you begin to start understanding and living out of the realm of the Spirit, because there is a level beyond what we know in the natural, that when God says it, that it is the I am saying it. Hallelujah. Because I think Gabriel probably reared back and said, I am Gabriel. And when God sends me on assignment, he doesn't change his mind. Hallelujah. Because what I'm birthing in you, the seed I have planted in you, is going to change the world. And so Mary connects with someone who can say, Mary, I don't even know how this is going to work, but if God says it, you follow that voice. I mean, if Samuel was raised in a house of Eli, who was a corrupt priesthood, and yet God raised one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, I believe, because there was a praying mama named Hannah back home that said, I prayed for that boy. I prayed over that boy. I sowed into that boy. I nursed that boy. And God will raise him up. Sometimes you have to relinquish your kids in the hands of people who are not good for them. They may hear some things that they don't need to be hearing and see some things that they don't need to be seeing. But I want to tell you, when you got some praying mamas and some praying daddies in the house, it don't matter what earthly kings have to say. God will move on behalf of the generations. And so they have a Holy Ghost encounter. And Mary begins to sing a song called the Magnificat. Song of the Magnificent means a chant or a hymn or a song. And it is in Luke 1:46. Go ahead and bring that up. I told you this morning the Lord spoke to me and said, raise the bar of expectation. Expectation. I mean, the favor on your life will reveal the hearts of those around you. That can be good or bad. And after Elizabeth begins to speak over Mary, Mary begins to prophesy and says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all nations shall call me. Say it again. All nations shall call me the power of a name. Right now, they might be calling me an unwed mother. Right now, they might be calling me promiscuous. Right now, they might be calling me a child. Right now, they might be calling me crazy. Right now, they're calling me a sinner. Right now, they might be calling me whatever. But henceforth, all the nations are going to call me blessed, because you don't call it what you want to call it. You call it what the heavens call it. And what people called forsaken, God called blessed. Call me what you want to call me. But from henceforth, all nations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he hath showed strength with his arms. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hopened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. I mean, no, he doesn't cite Moses. He cites Abraham, because Abraham was a man of faith before the law. To Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she could be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her sons heard now the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Oh no, not so. He shall be called John." And they said unto her, remember what's in a name. They said unto her, "There's none of thy kindred that's called by this name." In other words, they were saying, you need to name him Zachariah. We're going to call him Junior. Zachariah Junior. And they made signs to his father, because remember, his father can't speak, because God has silenced the voice of unbelief. And an old order priesthood. "There's none of your kindred that's by this name." They made signs to his father how he could have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all, and his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised round about throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And then we have the Benedictus of Zechariah, when he declares, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David." It says she abode for 3 more months. 6 plus 3 is... she hung out with someone who recognized her promise. She stayed in the company of someone who could nurture the seed of God that was in her. And then she stayed long enough to help, I believe, deliver the baby of Elizabeth. And look on the face of John, and the name John means grace. She embraced the grace of God, and then it gave her the confidence to go back, I believe, probably to Joseph and say, "God's got a call on my life. You can either walk it with me, or you can go now But this is what God has spoken. And I've held in my arm the forerunner of him who will prepare the way of the Lord. I have looked into the face of grace, and I can't go back. Grace has been prophesied by an old order priesthood who was silenced in his unbelief until he could pronounce grace over the next generation. Come on, somebody. That is good news in the house this morning. And she has the confidence to go back home and say, I know what he's called me to do, and I cannot vary from it. Stone me if you want to. But the thing that shall be done in her shall be called the Holy Ghost. And from henceforth, all nations are going to call me blessed. And I want to tell you this morning, God can take any situation in your life and bring glory out of it. But I want to tell you this morning. It is very important who you connect with in your season of wandering. In your season of weariness, in your season of not knowing what's next. Because I want to tell you, we can never lose the feeling of the leaping and the womb of our spirit. See, I want to come into the house of the Lord, and I want something to cause my baby to leap. I want something to cause my heart to leap and to be encouraged. I want to hear from the Lord, the word of the Lord. I want a Holy Ghost encounter. Play church if you want to, but I want a Holy Ghost encounter where God brings the supernatural into marriages, engagements, babies, children, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, where God stirs something in this season that is so incredible, so prophetic. I don't care what's been pronounced over you. Maybe they've called you sick. Maybe they've diagnosed you. Maybe they've, I don't know, growing up, maybe they said you were dumb, you were stupid, or things spoken over you. How many know sometimes you can have one negative word spoken over you and it'll cancel out the 100 positive things? I cancel every negative word and every negative assignment that's ever been spoken over you in Jesus' name. I cancel every assignment of the enemy that's ever been spoken over your family or over your future to come. And I cancel every assignment of the enemy. And I speak, you are blessed. You are highly favored. You are called of the Lord. You are chosen. You are purposed. Sickness has no place in your life. Death has no place in your mind. If you believe that, say, I'll take it. In Jesus' name, stand to your feet with me this morning. Hallelujah. You maybe have been labeled. Maybe you have been living in fear of things that have been spoken over you or over your life. But I'm going to call blessing over you in Jesus' name. They want to call him Zachariah Jr. Do you know what that means? You're going to be just like your daddy. They're going to call him after what daddy did, what daddy used to be, what daddy was. But how many know God is raising a generation? You're not going to be who your daddy was. You're going to be what God has called you to be. And I believe he breaks the cycle. When I told you about a baby who should never have been born and was adopted and grew up to raise a generation of kids that are touching the world. They called my dad an alcoholic from Rotten Row. True story. I have a little gumdrop tree at my house. This is a terrible story. When my dad was a little kid, there was a neighbor beside them at Christmas time would put gumdrops out on his tree to decorate it for Christmas. My dad would sneak over and eat their gumdrops. He got in trouble for stealing the gumdrops off of their tree. He was a kid. My dad loved gumdrops. I love a have a little gumdrop tree at my house. Because that man could drop bought the amount of gumdrops he needed. Why? Because he did not live under the label of Zachariah Jr. He did not live under the label of a house that was raised in alcoholism and abuse. God took the lowly and exalted them. And you, Berkeley Springs, come on, somebody, you need to shout in here this morning. You, Berkeley Springs, out of you, I will birth a nation. You worrying about your kids? You worrying about the next generation? You worrying about what the future looks like? Go ahead and call me blessed. Because whatever it is, God will turn it to good. God specializes in taking chaos and turning it into kairos moments. Are you ready for that in this season? Are you ready for that in this season? My kid said to me the other day, "Nana, what do you want for Christmas?" I said, "I don't want anything, baby." She said, "Nana, everybody wants presents." I said, "No, I really don't. I want you to come see me. I want you to eat with me. I could care less. Care less about the packages. But if my generations grow up to know the power of God that rescued an alcoholic and a baby from an unwanted pregnancy, they grow up to know the power of a God to change homes and houses and hearts and people. That's all I need." Lift your hands all over this building this morning. Wherever that hits you, wherever your heart is in all of that, that's what I want you to believe. The scripture says, "Blessed are they that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things in your life." Mary's response was like ours. How can that be? There shall be a performance of those things. And I cancel every negative voice. I cancel every diagnosis. I cancel every weariness. I cancel every hopeless situation. And I declare the power of God over this house right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that you cause us to leap with joy at the acknowledgement, Lord, of you are birthing grace in this season of our life. Hallelujah. Go ahead and call me blessed. Hallelujah. Because I refuse to be called anything but the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you're in the house this morning and you want special prayer, Pastor Lisa, I need to feel that. I need to experience that. I want you to come on down to the front. We'd be glad to pray over you this morning. If you are online and God is calling out to you today, I want you to receive hope. I want you to receive peace. I want you to receive blessing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you want to feel that, you want to experience that this morning, come on down. We'd be glad to pray over you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, I seek you.
Hallelujah. Come on, some of the Elizabeths in the house, come pray over these ladies in Jesus' name.
The more I
on, the Zacharias can come too. It's all right. Come on. Hallelujah. Lord, the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit, the power of the anointing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For what has been labeled over these ladies, Father, I cancel every assignment. I cancel every negative word. I cancel every bit of negativity that's ever been spoken. And I declare right now the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that can overshadow, that can move and restore and renew and refresh from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak that they are the favored. They are highly favored. And the Lord is with them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And this next season is going to bring renewal and rejoicing and hope and peace and anointing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, every bit of trauma, every bit of negativity, every bit of defeat that's ever been in her life, ever been spoken over her, I declare that today is a brand new day. We call her blessed in Jesus' name. We call her favored. We give hope, Father, in Jesus' name. We declare mental, physical, and emotional healing in Jesus' name over every area of their life. God, we speak that their best days are yet to come. We speak that their best days are yet to come. And Lord, that stirring that she has felt in her heart, Lord, for salvation and for renewal and her hunger, Lord, that has been towards you. God, I thank you that you meet us right where we are. And today, God, she feels the renewing and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, in a way that she's never encountered, God. That you show up in her dreams, Lord, that you show up in her worship, you show up in the Word in so many ways, God, that they begin to experience and encounter and know beyond a shadow of a doubt the anointing of the Holy Spirit resides in these vessels in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just love them on them there a little bit. Yep. Love on them. Thank you, Jesus. We rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice. We rejoice. Hallelujah. We rejoice. We rejoice in your presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Drink from the cup in your hand. Lay back against you and breathe. Feel.